This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening, 8:31. You are listening to Love Sport London. Me, Joe Forrester, here with you until 9 p.m. And it's time for the Watford Fan Show. So Hornets fans, get in touch. At Love Sport Radio is the way to do that on social media. You can give us a ring or send us a WhatsApp message on 0208 70 20 558. Yep, we want to hear from you this evening. Loads and loads to talk about. We're going to be looking back on that draw with Brighton. Also looking at the news that Christian Cabaselli has said that Watford deserved to be in 19th place. And meanwhile, somewhat conversely, Abdoulaye Doucouré has said he wants to be like Patrick Vieira. We're also going to be talking, looking ahead to a tough few fixtures coming up for the Hornets. Manchester United, Liverpool and Leicester all in the next four games. Joining me this evening, Mike Parkin from the Rookery End podcast. Good evening, Mike.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm very good, Mike. I'm very good. Thank you. And we're also with Jacob Coleshaw. Jacob, good evening.
Good evening, Joe. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you. Jacob, do you know the last time you and I were on air together, I seem to remember, I think you upset Martin Allen, was it?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I made a comment which didn't go down too well.
It was one of those wonderful minutes of radio where I kind of kicked back for 10 minutes and just sort of, and I just watched Martin Allen in full flow and I just thought, poor Jacob.
Yeah.
Right, lads, loads to talk about tonight as well. Let's start with Christian Cabaselli. I'm sure you've seen this interview that he's given, saying that he feels like Watford deserved to be in 19th place. He's called the season a waste, particularly after getting to the FA Cup final last season. And it seems to me, having read it, that he's been a little bit dismissive of what Nigel Pearson has achieved since coming into the club midway through the season. Jacob, let's start with you. What did you make of his words?
Yeah, no, I think Tristan Cavaselli is spot on. He's straight up in the interview, and I think he's thinking what every Watford fan's thinking. It's a bit of the weight of the season, actually. I know you just mentioned about Nigel Pearson. He does later on in the interview go on to say how Nigel Pearson's instilled a mentality since he's come to the club, given the players an extra 10 points. When we've been supporting come in and secured four out of our five this season.
I think we're going to have to call Jacob back. He's got a bit of a, it's a bit of a dodgy line there. Do you know what? It's the ghost of Martin Allen, that. But Mike Parkin, let me ask you the same question. Christian Cabaselli saying that that Watford deserved to be down in 19th, that it's a waste of a season. What do you make of those words?
Yeah, I mean, I said you can't argue with it, can you? Look where Watford are in the division. You looked at certainly at the first half of the season. We didn't get our first win until I think it was the 12th game of the season. And I think he's absolutely right. Last year was so exciting and so impressive on so many levels for Watford and their supporters last year. For it to have turned out like this with what on paper is actually a much stronger squad than last year is pretty poor, isn't it? And I think what he's saying there is, and I'd pick you up on what you said there, Joe, I don't think he's dismissing what Nigel Pearson has done at all. I think what he's doing is he's having a look inward. I think he's trying to take a bit of collective responsibility for what's happened and trying to point the finger at himself and his fellow pros, because they're the ones that cross the white line. They're the ones that have got all this talent. We've seen this Watford side when they put their mind to it. They're an extraordinary side, full of talent, full of experience. And to be honest, they've let themselves down too many times this year. And, you know, I think the head coaches have been an issue there, obviously. But I think he's trying to put his hand up and say, you know, we've fluffed our lines this season. And we're in 19th place, up against it with, 12 games to go? And, you know, who can argue with him, really?
Jacob's back with us now. Jacob, we've got you, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm back. Is that okay?
that is crystal clear. It's like he's in the room with me. So Jacob, let me ask you as well. We just heard from Mike there and saying that, look, essentially what Cabaselli's doing is putting his hand up and also asking for a bit of collective responsibility from the squad, saying that, look, it's their fault that they're in the position they are. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think Mark's spot on, really. And I think Christian Cabasele is saying what every Watford fan's thinking, really. I think it has been a waste of the season, as he mentioned. And I know you mentioned before, Joe, about Nigel Pearson and how he's kind of dismissed it. He actually didn't. Later on in the interview, he went on to say that Nigel Pearce has instilled this really positive mentality at Watford. And now the player's giving 10, 20 extra percent since he's been at the club. So he does mention the impact he's made, but he's certainly straight up talking. He's thinking what every Watford fan really wants to say. It has been a waste of the season. It's been poor, to say the least. We've still got a fighting chance. And the question is, had we appointed Nigel Pearson earlier, would we have been safe by now? Because of the form since he's come to the club has been pretty decent. But no, I think Christian Cabasele is spot on. I think Mike's right that actually there needs to be a collective responsibility with Watford players. Of course, the board needs to take some responsibility.
The players have been poor this season.
Oh, sorry, Jacob. For a moment, then you went a bit Darth Vader. that was an extraordinary producer. Porrick's face honestly looked absolutely astonished. But that it's true, isn't it? That collective responsibility, and maybe actually the fact that he's coming out and saying this now, maybe that I suppose goes some way to showing the collective responsibility that wasn't there at the start of the season now maybe is. It's interesting you both picked me up as well on my Nigel Pearson comments. That is classic journalistic re-narrativisation. I went for a clickbaity headline and you both picked me up on it. Right, Mike, let me ask you, the next few games, Manchester United away, Liverpool at home, Palace away, Leicester at home, Burnley away. How crucial is this to your season, this little run of games? Because on paper, it looks very, very difficult indeed.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is this is going to sound ridiculous. I think 38 points is going to do it this year. Yeah. 37, 38 points will probably do it. So you just need to get there. It doesn't matter how you get there, when you get there, whether it's the last game of the season, whether it's with a couple to spare. And with that in mind, you have to look at the next two games. You know, Manchester United, certainly not the force they once were. Old Trafford, and people aren't fearing going there as much, and I think we're actually due something there. We probably should have got a result there last season. We were actually pretty lucky the year before that on the last game of the season. So I don't think Vicarage Road Old Trafford will hold too many fears for this Watford squad, especially after a break they've had their midwinter break. They've had their chance to lick their wounds after Brighton. We've had a couple of guys hopefully coming back from injury in the shape of Ismail Assar and maybe even Kiko Femenia. So that right side could take on a whole new dynamic. So going into the United game, I think they'll be hopeful. Liverpool after that is a different kettle of fish altogether, of course. But then again, there's nothing to lose despite our perilous position in the league. No one will be expecting us to get anything there. So perhaps a little bit more pressure on the United game at the weekend. But I don't think these two games are where our season will be defined. I think there's a little clutch of games, Palace, Burnley, Southampton, Norwich, Newcastle. There, you know, there's four winnable games right there. Then we've got West Ham in the final month of the year. If we win, if we can get what we should get out of those games, then we're going to get very close to being safe. So whilst I'm confident and hope, confidence perhaps the wrong word, so more hopeful than I would have been 3 or 4 years ago going to Old Trafford, I don't think that the next sort of 7 to 9 days is where our season will be decided. What we must do is get some of that momentum back somehow. That's going to be the difficult thing, because, you know, it's interesting talking whenever amongst us Watford supporters, we talk about the Brighton game, we talk about it as if it was a defeat, really. That's how it felt, because it came off the back of two late defeats against Villa and then a really poor performance in the second half against Everton, and then to give that the goal away really against Brighton, they didn't look like they were going to score until we scored the own goal. So it felt like we've shot ourselves in the foot three times in a row there. So what we really need to see against Manchester United, regardless of the result, is just signs that the team have got their mojo back. Really, they've got the little bit of confidence back that they had that Pearson instilled in them when he came in. We need to get motoring again, because we're running out of road very quickly.
And Jacob, as Mike said, last four games, two draws, two defeats. The form really has gone off a cliff. Is there anything that you can pinpoint watching the Hornets that seems to have changed, to have gone wrong?
A lot of areas which I think you could maybe scrutinise and analyse where it's gone wrong for Watford. I think maybe one player who's made a big difference when he's not playing is Nathaniel Chalobah. I thought against Aston Villa when he went off, it was down to an injury. We looked a lot better when he was on the pitch. And again, against Everton, he got taken off.
So in those two games, I thought that was a big moment when Nigel Pearson took Nathaniel Chalobah off, whether it was enforced or unforced. That was a big difference. I think he makes a massive impact, Chalobah, and he's been brilliant, actually, since Pearson's come to the club. I also think, just defensively, holding on to leads. I know it's easier said than done, but you can't just sit off on a one-goal lead. We haven't got the defensive quality to do that, unfortunately. And it's just, yeah, the amount of points drop from winning positions, it's frustrating. I think it's 19 points this season. Unbelievable, really. And where those points could have gone for us would be unbelievable. But no, certainly I think Nathaniel Chalobah not playing has been a big blow when he comes off. And I think Pearson will hopefully have learned from that. I just think defensively, we're just all over the place. There's so many sloppy errors and avoidable errors that Watford make in their back line. And unfortunately, that's a bigger issue. It goes down to the board and the lack of investment. It's £30 million invested in centre-back since 2015-16, I believe. So, there's bigger issues, but certainly defensively and our inability to hold on to leads is our downfall at the moment.
And Jacob, looking at those next few games, obviously away at Old Trafford next, how do you feel about that fixture? It's funny, isn't it? Because I look at these next five fixtures and it shows you where football has gone, because I personally, if I was a Watford fan, would be feeling more worried about going away to Turf Moor than Old Trafford. How do you fancy your chances in Manchester?
I think I kind of agree with Mike, really. I don't think the next two games are going to decide Watford's fate. It's certainly the next five or six where you look at it and you think we need to be getting wins out of those. I mean, Palace, you target Burnley, even Southampton as well. But I know Manchester, getting back to form, and I know we beat them at Vicarage Road, but it's just a different proposition away at Old Trafford, I think. And you look at the next two games, and I think we've got to assume we're not the maximum a point maybe at the next two, but certainly that's not where it's going to be decided. We've got some big games coming up. But I think games like away to Burnley and away to Crystal Palace, you've got to be targeting them. And I know you said you wouldn't want to be going there, but for Watford fans, I think that's our most realistic chance of getting points on the board. So certainly Nigel Pearson and I will be targeting those games, thinking we need to be getting 3 points out of them.
Okay, and there's still loads to come, of course, on the Watford Fan Show this evening. We're going to be talking about Abdoulaye Doucouré and whether we can compare him to Patrick Vieira. We're going to be talking about making Ignacio Pesetto's dream of playing at Old Trafford come true. You're listening to Love Sport Radio.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Quarter to nine, me, Joe Forrester here on Love Sport London. It is the Watford Fan Show. Remember, Hornets fans, you can get in touch at Love Sport Radio on social media. Or if you want to give us a ring, or indeed send us a WhatsApp message, it's 0208 70 20 558. Here with Jacob Colshaw and with Mike Parkin from the Rookery End podcast. Ignacio Pesetto has been saying that he wants to be involved in Watford's game against Old Trafford upcoming in the Premier League. Apparently, the Argentine winger longingly watched the Premier League as a child and dreamed of playing games at the famous stadium. Jacob, he's not a player I know much about. He's played four times for Watford this season, I believe. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, so it's only been four games with Ignacio Pesetto, but I think his biggest contribution so far is his goal line clearance against Spurs in the 0-0 draw at Vicarage Road. I think it was millimetres from going over the line, but he saved us a point there, and that's been so far the biggest thing he's contributed. However, I think what we've seen from Pesetto is someone who works hard down the right-hand side when he comes and he likes to get his boot in. He's a workman down the right-hand side, and I think that's what we need, especially in the situation and we're in at the moment. But no, I think I haven't seen obviously a lot of him, but certainly the work rate is there, and the contribution at home to Spurs was massive. Obviously, gave us a point on the board, but looking forward to seeing more of him, hopefully, this season.
And Mike, how about you? Does he look like the sort of player that you needed to bring in January?
He's very, very neat and tidy, and like Jacob said, he's not scared of getting involved. He's quite slight in physique, but I think his appearance is slightly misleading because he looks pretty tough. He gets up and down the pitch and. So, he's looked neat and tidy. I don't think necessarily he's looked like an absolute game changer, which very difficult for a player that's brought in January to do that, coming into a squad relatively low on confidence. But personally, and no offence to Ignacio, but I hope we don't see him on Sunday, because I think that will mean that Ismail Assar is back in the side. And I think going back to what Jacob was saying about defensive frailties causing us problems, they are. But I think that's because the dynamic of the entire side changes when Ismail Assar isn't on the pitch. His pace is absolutely extraordinary. and what him being on the pitch means is that the defence we're up against have to change their game plan completely. They take a step back as soon as he's on the ball, allowing everyone to get forward and set themselves up for an attack. It makes defending easier when he's on the pitch because they can be that little bit further up the pitch. So he makes such a huge difference to Watford. And not many people were saying that earlier in the season. We were struggling to see where we're going to get the value from. But now, over the last sort of couple of months, he's really shown his value to the side. So with him back, that would mean Ignacio Pacheta would drop to the bench and maybe come on and make an impact, perhaps, because you know players do want to make an impact at Old Trafford, and certainly someone with his history with the club obviously wanting to play there. But yeah, he's neat and tidy. He looks like a decent addition to the squad. I don't think he's a first 11. He's not going to be in that first 11 if everyone's fit, put it that way.
Well, Ignacio, if you are listening, at least you're going to get to go to Old Trafford. That's the main thing. A player who is absolutely key for Watford when he's at his best, and a player that I think a lot of outsiders look at and think he's the key man, is Abdoulaye Doucouré. And he's been saying that he hopes to replicate the success of his idol, Patrick Vieira. He's also been talking about his great on and off the pitch relationship with Etienne Capoue. How important, Mike, do you think Doucouré is to Watford and to keeping that team ticking when he's at his best?
Yeah, I mean, the point there is when he's at his best, he is one of the Premier League's best. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. He does incredible work defensively. He can score. He arrives late in on the edge of the box, and he's capable of smashing them in from distance. He's an absolute horror to play against. He keeps Watford moving with Etienne Capoue. He gets them transitioning from defence to attack nice and quickly. He covers a lot of ground. He's terrific. He can be as good as he wants to. It'd be interesting to see him in a team without Etienne Capoue, actually, because I think, for me, Capoue really is the one who is the key to unlocking Watford and their potential. He's so important. He makes it look so easy. He's just born to play that role. So those two as a midfield duo are absolutely extraordinary. But Doucouré, you know, he could be anything he wants to be, I think. And I think the penny's clicked. He needs to make the rest of this season a successful one for Watford if he's going to get the move that he's probably after. Because if he ends up in a relegated side, it's probably going to narrow the pool of clubs that look at him, I think. So he's got a job on his hands, but you're right, he's absolutely key for Watford. And if we are going to get out of this trouble, him and that relationship with Etienne Capoue are going to be a huge, huge part in securing it.
Jacob, how important do you think that relationship is? And I suppose also the drop in form of Doucouré in particular earlier in the season. How closely can we associate that with Watford's own struggles? Oh, we don't have Jacob. So, do you know what? Do you know what? Seamlessly, I'll ask Mike the same question. So, Mike, what do you think? I mean, in terms of Doucouré's drop in form earlier in the season, he was maybe a little bit off the boil. Do you think we can maybe equate his drop in form with Watford's drop in performance overall?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. When he's not ticking, Watford aren't ticking. And we were without Etienne Capoue earlier in the season for a period of time. He was out through injury, and that coincided with a poor run of form. I mean, that's not saying much. The whole season's coincided with a poor run of form, really. But if he's playing well, Watford are playing well. He can dominate a game, absolutely dominate it. He makes it difficult for defenders, and he makes it difficult for strikers, and he makes it difficult for opposition midfielders. He's an absolute nuisance. He's a horror to play against. And without him performing at his peak, Watford will struggle. He is one of the key performers. I think him, Etienne Capoue, Saar down the right, and we need Deeney up in form up top as well. When those guys are ticking, Watford look a serious, serious threat. And if he's not playing well, invariably Watford aren't. So we'll be looking very much to him and the centre of the park for the rest of the season, yeah.
And we've got Jacob back with us now. Jacob, do you know what?
I'll tell you what, this line's a little bit like Watford season.
It's absolutely fun. Do you know what? It makes it more exciting. It makes it more exciting. But let me ask you, I must be getting old, because Adrian Mariupa has been with Watford for 10 seasons now. It is extraordinary. Do you know what? It goes in the blink of an eye. But he's been with Watford for 10 seasons now. Looking back on his legacy and his time with the club, how do you think he'll be remembered as a Watford player?
Yeah, no, I think AD will be remembered as a club legend at Watford. Obviously, been through the academy system, worked his way up to club captain, obviously left the club and then came back and played in the team that was in an FA Cup final for the first time since 1984. So I think he'll be held in high regard by all Watford fans. It's a shame that I think he does get a little bit of stick from certain sections of supporters because of it's unfair on him, really, because his natural position isn't right back, and he's been put there with Nigel Pearson because he wants a bit more protection down that right-hand side with Delafeu on the right. And Mariappa, he's uncomfortable, as we saw in the Brighton game. I know the own goal wasn't great, but he's looked susceptible at times this season. And he's a centre-back by trade. It is a little bit unfair on him, but at the same time, is he really Premier League quality? I don't think so, and that's not to have a go at Mariappa, but I just think we should have really moved on, or not even moved on, just upgraded on the defence. That goes to the back line, probably excluding Christian Cavaselli and Messina, really. But yeah, no, I think he'll be held in high regard by all Watford supporters because of what he's done at the club, being involved in the Championship and now in the Premier League, a Watford supporter. So yeah, a lot of praise has to go to Mariappa, and I think he's a fan's favourite, really.
And Mike, as well, I mean, Adrian Mariappa has been there 10 seasons now. I mean, when he first came in, did you expect to see him playing for the Hornets for that long?
No, certainly not. I think it's difficult in this day and age. I mean, you were talking 10 years ago now, but you don't expect to get 10 years out of any player these days, do you? It's not the way the game is. And it's fantastic to have, as Jacob said, his career arc has been a really impressive one. And for him to come through the academy, earn the move away, go and be successful in the Premier League elsewhere, and then come back to Watford. I think the biggest credit to him is that no one really expects us to get the stint that we've had out of him since he came back. We didn't expect to get that from him. And I think really, when he's come in, he hasn't let us down very, very often. And it's very, very harsh to point at his recent performances as right back as being defining for his most recent performances. Because, you know, we've been shorn of Kiko Femenia at right back, Daryl Yanmat, both of who are high-end operators, both of who proved they can do it in the Premier League, and he's slotted in pretty admirably there. I think he's done some sterling work. You know, not flashy. He reminds me of Craig Cathcart, actually, someone who came into the club probably barely an eyebrow raised when they came in. Thought we might get a couple of games out of them here and there, but they've turned out to be hugely, hugely important for Watford over the years. And I think Mariappa's done really well. And as Jacob alluded to there, he's come in for some stick. And I think it's unfortunate. I think it's unfair. They've had to mix and match with that defensive line. They've often been under pressure, and more often than not, he hasn't let Watford down at all. So, yeah, absolute bona fide Watford legend, and it's absolutely right that they're marking his 10 years as an event coming up, being organised in the club later in the year. And I think that's absolutely right that contribution is marked in that way. Absolutely superb player, superb bloke, and proud to have had him at Watford for so long.
Wonderfully put. And we're coming towards the end of the show now, chaps. Manchester United away, of course, as we know. Mike, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can I get a score prediction?
I think we'll come away from a draw. It's going to be an entertaining game, 2-2.
A 2-2 draw. Jacob, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I have to agree with Mike. I think it'll be a draw. I think it'll be 1-1.
You think a 1-1 draw? So neither of you fancy a victory at Old Trafford?
No, unfortunately not. But I think we may be able to nick a point.
And save that for derailing Liverpool's season at Vicarage Road the week after, right?
Yeah,
I'll take that.
Nice one, fellas. It's been really, really good fun. Thank you very much to Jacob Coleshaw. Thank you to Mike Parkin from the Rookery End podcast. In other Watford other Watford news, I should say, captains of both Watford and Watford Ladies, Troy Deeney and Helen Ward, have been named as patrons of the club's LGBT fan group, Proud Hornets. At an event held at Watford Museum on Tuesday evening, the group revealed that both players had agreed to support the supporters group to mark Football versus Homophobia Month. Troy Deeney said, "I'm pleased to become a patron for the Proud Hornets and to be an ally for our fans from the LGBT community. For me, this shows our club is once again leading the way with its work with equality and diversity, and it was an honour to be asked." Ward added, "I'm delighted to accept the Proud Hornets invitation to become their patron. It's so important that we continue to stand together as one club and promote a united front against every type of discrimination. Don't forget, no matter what team you support, you can have your say. We've got tons of fan shows here on Love Sport. You can get in touch at Love Sport Radio or 0208 70 20 558.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.